Micah, the prophet, the minor prophet of the Old Testament, chapter number 5. And let me read it for you, and you can listen to the word of God as it is being read here today and proclaimed. Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. You may be seated. Many of you know that I do have another little gig that I do, and I drive people. Most of the time, I drive them crazy. But the other day, I was chauffeuring this lady who comes to find out was a granddaughter to the rich millionaire and billionaire Nelson Rockefeller. I had the opportunity to drive her from Logan Airport up to a relative in Falmouth, 91 years old. And what a lady. She came barreling out of South Station when she got off of Amtrak, and she said, "Let me in here. Let me in this car right now. It's too cold out." And it was a cold day. We got driving along and headed up Route 1 through Revere and all up through and getting on to 95, and she started quizzing me a little bit. She said, "What else do you do besides drive little old ladies around?" And I said, "Well, I'm a pastor." "A pastor? Well, let me tell you right now," she said, "that I am an agnostic, and I'll make no bones about it." And I had to figure out, well, what is an agnostic anyway? Well, and then I remembered from my Theology 100 class that an agnostic is a person who believes nothing is known of the existence or nature of God or of anything beyond the material phenomena. In other words, if you can't see it, you can't believe in it. If it's spiritual in nature, then it's open to suspicion. It's open to skepticism. And so she said, "Okay, well, I'm an agnostic, and I assume you're a Christian pastor." "Yes." And she said, "What denomination?" I said, "Baptist." "Oh, those Baptists," she said. "Oh, those Baptists." And I said, "Yeah, we are known to be a peculiar people." And so we started chatting, and she said, "All right," she said, "I suppose you come in contact with people like me a lot." And here she is, 91 years old, and she didn't stop to come up for any air ever since we left Logan Airport. And she said, "Well, I suppose you believe in Jesus." And I said, "Absolutely. He's my Savior. And this is the Christmas season, and you're going to be with family, and that's what Christmas is all about, celebrating the birth of Jesus." I asked her a question, "Well, what does Christmas mean to you?" And we're starting to get into the heavy stuff. And she said, "Well, you know, Christmas is just, You know, just a time to be with family. A time to give gifts. A time to share love. A time for, you know, just having a little extra eggnog as well, she said. And so she went on and on, and she said, "I suppose you're going to be preaching a sermon this Sunday." I said, "Yep." And then she said, "Well, what's in it? What's the sermon all about? Tell me the sermon that you're going to be preaching this Sunday." Well, I told her, I said, "I have 3 points that I'm going to share." And she said, "Well, what are they? Tell me about them." And wow, was she ever grilling me. And she asked me all kinds of questions about what I'm going to share here in a minute. And she just kind of was an amazing lady. And by the end of the trip, by the end of the ride up here to Falmouth, you know, there was part of me that said, "Boy, I'm glad to get rid of her." And there was another part that said, "You know, I wish I had her for another 15 minutes. Because we were starting to really talk about the meaning of faith in having a personal relationship with Jesus. You see, an agnostic is someone who you can't see and you can't touch it, then it can't be real. And she was, I was beginning to think, you know, maybe this may be the opportunity, maybe the last chance she'll have on this earth to hear about Jesus. So I told her what it was to have a personal relationship with Jesus. I said, "You can have the head knowledge, and you can have the intellectual knowledge, and you can, whether, you know, you believe Jesus lived or not, that's all important, but yet the most important part of it all is whether Christ lives in your heart." And so I shared the good news of Jesus with her. And I told her, I said, "You know, you, even though you've lived 91 years old, are you thinking about what will happen to you when you breathe your very last breath?" And she said, "No, they'll just put me in a box and throw me in the ground, and that'll be it." Well, I said, "Well, why would God, why would Jesus come into this world? And why would Christmas be so wonderful? Why? I mean, what's your purpose in life?" And so I shared the good news, and I said, "This is what you have to do to become a Christian. You have to invite Christ into your heart. You have to turn from your sin. You have to invite him into your life to be your Savior, to be your Lord. You believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. The Bible says you will be saved." That's a promise right there. So I'm praying that God will take the word, the words I spoke, and that it might find lodging in the heart of a 91-year-old self-professed agnostic. And it kind of fitted in with what I want to share with you today about the gift of Christmas. The greatest gift of all is the gift of course, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. That if you continue down the course of living a life that's against God and rebelling against his word and not being obedient to him, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And then I said there's a but. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the message of Christmas right there. Jesus invaded humanity so that we might know what that free gift is. And it's a gift that none of us deserve. It's a gift that we can't earn. It's a gift that's ours to receive by faith, by the grace of God. Isn't that a wonderful gift? Who would want to turn down $1 million? Who would want to turn down eternity? Who would want to turn down God's free gift? The gift of eternal life. I don't know anybody in their right mind that would want to turn down eternity in heaven with God. I hope this lady will turn to Christ. I hope you'll pray for her. And I hope that she'll come to know Jesus before it's too late. Well, what are Christ's gifts to us? Well, there are three things here, and we see him right here in the book of Micah. And here in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, I have a son by the name of Micah, and so I'm a little bit inspired by that today as well. And it gives us the birth of where Jesus would be born, prophesied some 500 years before he was even born. It tells us in the book of Micah where he'd be born. He'd be born in Bethlehem. I've been in Bethlehem. And it's a beautiful place right now. It's one of the most contentious parts of the world. There's hardly any Christians anymore in the town of Bethlehem. They've all been run out. They've all been executed, some of them. So there's, I believe, maybe 2% of the population of Bethlehem now are believers in Jesus Christ. The rest, mostly Palestinians. And so this is a reference here to Christmas in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that he would be born in Bethlehem, and he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, it says, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, and then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, it says. And he will be our peace. What a great promise from the book of Micah. These two simple verses teach us what Christmas is all about. Some say Christmas is all about this, and it's all about partying, and it's all about gifts, and it's all about songs, and it's all about families getting together. All those are great things. But Christmas is all about the Savior. You've heard it before. Maybe it's becoming a little bit stagnant to you. I don't know. But it's the most powerful message on the face of the earth. It's the most life-changing message of all. That Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And I'm one of those sinners. And so are you. And so, here in the book of Micah, it tells us why Jesus came into the world and what he expected to accomplish here. Micah says that Jesus came to be the shepherd of his flock. He came to take care of us, to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, to protect us, to save us. He came to be our shepherd. Now in the New Testament and even in the Old Testament, we see many images of Jesus being referred to as the good shepherd, the great shepherd. The great shepherd will lay his life down for his sheep. Believe it or not, you and I are regarded as sheep in the Bible. And sheep, if you've ever had sheep, I've raised sheep at home on the farm, and so I know how stubborn sheep are. I know how, you know, dirty they can be, how awkward they can be, and everything there is to know about sheep, I guess I've probably learned it firsthand. But there's three things here about this shepherd that applies to the message of Christmas. A message that you and I need to hear in a very powerful way this day on Christmas Eve 2017. The first one is this. These are his gifts to us today. This is his gift to you. And this is his gift to me by his grace. Number one, that he gives us strength. He gives us strength. It says it right here. What Christmas is all about is that you don't have to live life on your own strength. What Christmas is all about is that you don't have to handle all the problems and all the chaos and all the issues on your own. You have help. You can turn to God for strength. And the Bible says that He will give it to you. Now, there's a story told about a guy by the name of Bob Weiland. I'm not sure if anybody has ever heard his name or not. But I saw this on PBS one night. He lost both his legs in Vietnam. He dreamed of becoming a professional baseball player. From the time he was a little boy, that's all he wanted to do. He wanted to go out and he wanted to be a professional baseball player. But the dream was gone forever when he lost his legs. Now, many men, many people in this kind of situation would all of a sudden be overcome with bitterness. Many people would blame God. Many people would blame the war. Many people would blame this and that and everything else, but Bob didn't. He didn't blame anybody. He said, "I lost my legs, but not my heart. I lost my legs, not my heart." I thought that was pretty profound. And he continued his quest for athletic achievement, and so he walks on his hands now. That's how he gets around. And has completed a 3-year walk across America. Imagine walking across America. He's participated in the race across America on a custom-made bicycle, and he can bench press. Listen to this. You wouldn't want to meet up with him in a dark alley, let me tell you. He can bench press an amazing 507 pounds. It's a lot of weight. How does he do it? He said he learned to cast all his cares on Christ. Because he knew there was no strength in himself. It all came from him. He learned that the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. He learned that in a personal way, in a powerful way, in a potent way. And he says, "I do the best I can to apply the Word of God to my life because I know it works. I know it's real. I know it's reality." And that's the kind of strength that Jesus offers on this Christmas Eve. It's a message that we proclaim to the world that it's not our strength, but it's His. That's what Christmas is all about. It means you're not alone. Emmanuel. The words were spoken by Zechariah. Emmanuel, God with us. He gives us His strength. You are not a victim of the circumstances life throws your way. You have a shepherd. And you can live in His strength, in His power. Are you facing challenges right now? Most of us are. One way or another, we're all facing challenges. We're all facing issues. We're all facing problems that have come our way, whether we like them or not. And we can be ignited today on this Christmas Eve to know that we can face these challenges in God's strength, not our own. We don't have to face it alone. The second thing He gives us for Christmas is not just strength, but He gives us security. He gives us security, and we see it right here in Micah chapter 5. And in verse 4, he says, "And they will live securely, for then His greatness will reach to the ends of the earth." He will give us security. Let's face it, we live in an insecure world. You know, who would have known a couple of months ago that somebody would have walked into a Baptist church in Texas and shot, I don't know how many people, 50 or so, 49 people. Who would have known that? Who's to say it couldn't happen right here in Bodenham, Maine? And so we're living in an insecure world. We're living in a world that's insecure. People are insecure. People are on edge. People don't feel secure. One of the fastest growing businesses in North America today is home security units. People installing them in their homes. It's a big thing. You see, at any moment, life can come crashing down around us. Any moment. This time next year, who's to say something tragic is not going to happen to one of us? I pray it doesn't. But between now and Christmas 2018, who's to say, you know, our worlds are just going to fall apart? Your world and my world can fall apart just like that. Just like that. When we're not expecting it. Who's to say that terrible word that begins with the letter C, cancer, is not going to hit us? Who's to say that we're going to be laid off from our employment? Who's to say we're going to face some economic conditions across the land and around the world that nobody, absolutely nobody, will have any control over? Who's to say that? I put my trust in God. I put my security in Him. I don't know about you. Some people put their security in the stock market. Some people put their security in, a good paying job, good family. All those good things are great and good. But it can change in a twinkling of an eye. I put my trust in the Lord. There's a verse in the Old Testament says that some trust in chariots and horses, but I trust in the living God. You see, Jesus offers the security of knowing that He is in control, that He has the power and ability to take care of us. Not only is He in control, but He can take care of us as well. He can take care of me. That's what a shepherd does. And that's what He wants to do for each of us if we put our trust in Him. In the book of Ezekiel, it says, I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down. What a great passage from Ezekiel 34, 15 and 16. He says, I will have them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. I will reach for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. That's His promise to us. Make us secure. He's saying, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. Our world may cave in, we may fall flat on our face, but God says He'll take care of us because He's our shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He says, I'll take care of you. And He says, I'll never leave you and I will never forsake you. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Jesus also said this. He said in John 10, He says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. That's pretty secure. No one can snatch them, snatch you, snatch me, out of His hand. And here's the final word that the prophet Micah gives us this morning on this Christmas Eve. Not only does God give us strength through the Christmas message, and not only does He give us security, but He gives us serenity. And serenity is what? It's peace. It's the peace of knowing that no matter what, all is well. Peace. Some of the most beautiful occasions I've ever had have been ministering to people who are on their very last moments of life. You go into their hospital bed and, you know, they only have hours left. And you can tell they're at peace because they're at peace with Jesus. Because they've made they've made amends with Him, if you will, and with others. And they've come to the recognition that there's an eternity to gain, and that's through Christ. You see, we don't live in a peaceful world. Most people don't have inner peace, and you can only have, you know, only have to look at a glance at the headlines, and you see that this world is craving peace right now. So Jesus came to bring peace to all who follow Him. His birth was foretold by Micah with the words in verse 5 of Micah chapter 5, verse 5. He says, He will be our peace. It doesn't say He was our peace, or He might be our peace, or He could be our peace. It says, and He will be our peace. His birth was announced by the angels who said, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward all men, or on whom His favor rests. And as Jesus was approaching death, He said to His disciples, Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I was saying those words yesterday when I was out on 295. Do not be afraid. Jesus came to give us peace even when we can't experience peace in the world around us. We can experience His peace in our hearts. What a great message. Message of Christmas. We can know His peace. We can radiate in His peace. It's humbling to admit that we can't take care of ourselves, but that's what we must do in so many ways. In the Bible, we're compared to sheep, and it's not exactly a very pretty picture. Sheep aren't industrious. They don't work for you. They don't protect the family. And no one ever has a guard sheep. Neither are they particularly bright. You never see sheep in a circus act. No way. But the one thing that sheep can do by nature is to follow the shepherd. Is to hear the voice of the shepherd. And to follow the leading of the shepherd. If there's one thing about sheep, they're good at following. They're good at trusting. And that's what God wants you to do. That's what He wants you to do today. To follow Him. And if you've never put your trust in Him, He wants you to trust Him today as your personal Lord and Savior. He wants you to surrender your life and to invite Him into your heart to be your Savior, to be your Lord. So that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, beyond what anything that this world or anything the secular media or anybody can ever tell you, that all is well. And you put your trust in Him. He wants you to follow Him. That He'll take care of you. He came to be our shepherd. He came to help you live each day, not in your own strength, but in His strength, in His power. Give you the kind of security this world cannot offer. To fill you with peace. He came to seek and to save the lost. So that all who follow Him may experience life in all its fullness. I would suggest to you, my dear friends, this morning that this is what Christmas is all about. This is what Christmas is all about. Do you have that Christmas message in your heart? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you been born from above? If you haven't, you need to be. You need to trust Him today. That's the greatest Christmas gift you'll ever know, that you'll ever experience. that you'll ever want to experience. That's it right there. Remember that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who would want to turn down a free gift? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message of eternal life, and that even on this Christmas season, we can gather around the manger and be reminded of the greatest gift of all, the gift of your eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.